Want to be a part of the conversation? Then let us know on the TNT Radio Interactive Live chat room at tntradio.live. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Exploring solutions to the mental health crisis. This is Mind Medicine on today's news talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome to the Mind Medicine program. In association with Mind Medicine Australia, I'm your host, Charles Coves, Australasia's passion provocateur, with you from Melbourne, Australia at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. I'm so looking forward to my guest this week. It's John Lukacs from the United States. For him, it's 2 a.m. Saturday morning, so he is sacrificing his sleep to be with us for this hour on this weekly show, and I'm so grateful that we've got him. I am an author of two books, Passionate People Produce and Passionate Performance, a professional speaker, an executive coach, and a proud host on TNT Radio. This show is all about how and why mind matters and how to keep it in great shape to get over the problems of the mental health dramas that we're seeing. Ideas to provoke new ways about thinking about your life and life generally. Insights into mental health issues and health issues of all descriptions. And to that end, we're delighted to be working with Mind Medicine Australia, that was established 4 years ago as Australia's leading not-for-profit organisation working on the use of medicinal psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies to treat a range of mental illnesses. Mind Medicine Australia was founded to help alleviate the suffering caused by accelerating mental illness epidemics right around the world, and it expands treatment options available to medical practitioners and their patients. The website is mindmedicineaustralia.org. Unlike current treatments such as antidepressants, which only manage the illness and can have nasty side effects, psilocybin and MDMA-assisted therapies have been scientifically proven, although I'm worried about using that word scientific, they're proven to be a safe and effective cure for anxiety, depression, end-of-life stress, addictions, and post-traumatic stress disorder after just a short treatment program. These medicines are also currently being researched for dementia, eating disorders, obsessive-compulsive disorder, and a range of other conditions. Research from over 160 trials indicates that these medicines are safe and non-addictive, and after thousands of patients have used it, no adverse events. So the good news is that after 4 years in Australia, the TGA has approved these medicines administered by psychiatrists from the 1st of July this year. It is great, great news. Mind Medicine Australia has also commenced the first ever certificate in psychedelic therapies. It is one of the world's best psychedelic therapist training programs and will help the rollout of these wonderful solutions. The recent pandemic has exacerbated mental health epidemics around the world, and these treatments have the potential to cure millions. Visit the website mindmedicineaustralia.org and spread the word. Your family and friends need these solutions to their health challenges. And at the end of the day, I have lived my whole life on the basis, if you don't have health, what have you got? My definition of health, for regular listeners will know that it's based on the Hungarian word for health, and that word is egészség. The Hungarian language is very precise, and health, my definition is, it's the unique optimum balance for you of mental, physical, and spiritual elements. Now, this show will, and the link with passion comes like this, that if you're passionate, I say to you, you will have less mental health problems. And John Lukacs, my guest, who I'll introduce to you shortly, he is a man of passion, and I'm blown away by what he's done in his life. And the reason why pursuing your passion reduces your mental health dramas is because passion comes from your soul and fear comes from your mind. It doesn't come from your soul. And the more passion you have in your life, the less fear you will have in your life. And many mental health issues are caused by fear. In my life, I have fought for people to be free to pursue their passion. I consider myself a freedom warrior. I fight for freedom through health, through the right to pursue your passion, through industrial hemp, through free speech, particularly as chairman of the Australian Institute of Comedy. So freedom's played a big role in my life, and TNT Radio is the place to be because there is free speech here. There's no censorship here. And, you know, I just can't urge strongly enough that without freedom, you are not much different to an animal. And people give away their freedom for security is such a BS idea. Freedom is what makes you a human being. Now, before I get to John Lukacs, I just want to say a couple of things about what's happening on the planet. I remind you that Tanya De Jong, the co-founder of Mind Medicine Australia, she's starring in a musical that she's produced based on the book by her mother, Driftwood. It's on in Sydney until the 18th of June. Check it out, Driftwood, the musical. And it's a very relevant story. It's the story of her grandmother and their escape from Europe as Jews to Australia, and the segregation, the whole Jewish story, the whole Jewish Holocaust. And it's a musical, and it is brilliant, so I recommend it. Good news, Danielle Smith re-elected as Premier in Alberta, Canada, with a landslide victory. Now, she ran on opposition to lockdowns for these pandemics. And I think everyone should note that she had the courage to stand up and say no lockdowns. The Premier of Western Australia, Mark McGowan, resigned this week on the basis that he says, I'm exhausted. BS again, just like Jacinda Ardern, the Prime Minister of New Zealand, I'm exhausted. Mark McGowan, trust me, will be held to account. There's a range of criminal and other legal actions against him. The other interesting thing was the judgment in a defamation case by a Victoria Cross winner that came out on Thursday, Ben Roberts Smith. So he won a Victoria Cross for his courage in Afghanistan, but he took a defamation case against newspapers because they said he committed murders in Afghanistan. Now, this was a hugely expensive legal case, said to cost both sides a total of $40 million. And you wonder, why would someone claim to be defamed if they, you know, if they, why would they air that in court if it actually happened? Very interesting. Of course, defamation is the burden of proof is lower than a criminal case, but it's been front page news, I'm sure, around the world. Victoria Cross, of course, is the highest honour that can be awarded in the Australian UK military. The World Health Organization has added to its executive board a representative from North Korea. That is so outrageous. I think it should show to you what a corrupt organization the World Health Organization is. Do not believe anything that it says. I urge you to beware of what it's planning. I urge you to tell your local representatives that the World Health Organization is a corrupt, untrustable, unelected body. The other thing I want to raise is the legalities. If you go for a new job and an employer says to you, have you been jabbed? There is real doubt about the ability of an employer to ask that question. It's a breach of the Australian Immunisation Handbook laws. And so go to your lawyer and find that out. If you don't want to answer that question, you are not obliged to answer that question. Listening to the ad that we just heard from Patrick Henningsen on the greenhouse gas emissions of fake meat, this whole issue of climate emergency, I keep saying every show, there is no climate emergency. We certainly have a soil emergency. We have chemicalized soil in Australia, America, UK. The use of chemicals in soils leads to poor quality food, also impacts on our health. But to say that there's a climate emergency is a lie. We also have a waste emergency, but no climate emergency. This impact, the fraud, or as Patrick Henningsen says, a con, it's absolutely a con. Please don't get sucked in by going along with this con because someone might call you a climate denier. Good. Let them call you whatever name they like. The attack on energy availability is going to have a massive detrimental effect on humanity. John Lukacs, my guest, might have some words, thoughts about that impact of increased energy costs. Lastly, spread the TNT message. Spread this radio station. We need more and more people listening to this radio station because this is where you find out uncensored truth. One of my key phrases that I'm using these days is that connection is the resistance. As human beings, we are powerful when we're connected. When we're separate, we are weak. Together, we are strong. Lastly, pay with cash. You know, it's often said you go to a shop and they go, would you like cash or card? No, a better choice is cash or slavery. Push for the use of cash. We need cash because otherwise digital currency, everything on digital makes you controllable. All right, that's my thoughts for the day. Let me introduce John Lukacs, a man who's had 7 careers. I'm so impressed by John's willingness to go deep on research. His website is estateartistry.com. He's written
That's right.
2 groundbreaking books, John, and the first was an international bestseller that was banned by Amazon. That means you were speaking truth, and it was on the bestseller list, and they banned it. The original title was COVID-19 and Induced Anaphylaxis, and his second book is What Now? Both of them are available. We'll ask John what they're about. John, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, Charles.
You are. I love your willingness to go deep. And 2 things I particularly want to talk about. Tell us about your books, but and I also want to talk about these books have led to you developing a post-COVID jab protocol to help people recover. So tell us about the books and this protocol.
Okay. Well, the first book was out there with a couple of different titles because I was constantly battling censorship. Over the course of my research on this hoax, I happened across the work of Charles Richer. Now, he's largely forgotten.
How do you spell Richer?
R-I-C-H-E-T. He is a French physiologist who discovered anaphylaxis. He even coined the term. So he won his Nobel Prize in 1913. He did all kinds of experiments over 100 years ago, and the results of which are very relevant today. Those experiments involved all the ways one could induce anaphylaxis. Now, there's a lot to this, but the main gist is his conclusions. So any alien foreign protein that is injected directly into the bloodstream, like is done with vaccines, will be considered an enemy by the body's immune system. And its presence produces a unique hypersensitivity that manifests in humans after an incubation period that takes between 14 and 30 days to complete. During this period, the body learns how to produce a very specific apotoxin, and it files away that recipe, and this could quite easily be potent enough to kill you. In his experiments, he was able to take this apotoxin out of one experimental animal and put it into another one in an amount as infinitesimal as 0.0007 of a nanometer. So this is an incredibly, almost immeasurable small amount, and it is enough to induce death, usually within a few hours. So the first parenteral injection exposes a person to any of these toxins, and it will cause this apotoxin recipe to be filed away. Now, once the incubation period completes, a second exposure to any highly similar protein will unleash this potential, and the apotoxin the body produces will cause an anaphylactic response in 1 of 4 degrees that range from itchiness to death. I mean, it's like everything, right? But the severity of that depends on how chemically similar the second protein is to the first. So when I was reading about him, the epiphany I had was, oh my God, think about what they're doing today. They are trying to record as much information as it is possible to, you know, to catalog about your individual genome, your health, Everything about you and this vaccine injury, I mean, sorry, this vaccine passport idea is supposed to be the record of what you've been injected with in the past. If you think about this, all they need to do is have, to have like an arm's length way to kill you covertly is to inject you with the same thing twice. My book was banned because I was just dumbstruck at this conclusion. I was like, how come nobody's figured this out? I mean, see, for all intents and purposes, you could think of anaphylaxis as inflammation. So what this means is you're being asked to get two shots in most cases, 21 days apart. At least that's the way they pitched it to begin with. But at 21 days, you're right in the middle of the incubation range for anaphylactic hypersensitivity. Half of those doing this will have some form of anaphylactic response. And trust me, this includes every named and observed side effect of all the COVID vaccines. They are all inflammatory responses and diseases which include inflammatory symptomology, every last one. So for the people that experience paralysis or tremors, the inflammation is in the brain or nerve tissue. For those that get injection site rashes, they are not simple allergic reactions that can be dismissed as benign. That is second degree anaphylaxis. When people die, that's fourth degree anaphylaxis, and it presents as any number of causes with their own medical names. If this vaccine kills someone, that happened because they already had a previous sensitizing exposure to something in the formulation, and it is that second protein exposure which unleashes the resultant apitoxin, causing a lethal anaphylactic shock reaction. That's the sequence of events every time it happens. And at the time that I wrote this book, there were over 10,000 confirmed reports of exactly that. Today, the actual number is vastly higher, right? But I looked at this and I thought, geez, you know, this pulls the rug out of the whole idea behind vaccines, which, you know, in a nutshell is expose yourself to a little poison or a little, pathogenic material and become immune to it. That is not the way things work. You know, it's not beyond any capable person to become an expert in anything. I'm trying to lead by example here, but I got to be honest, becoming an expert takes a lot of effort. I had the time and most people don't. I can, and I have.
So John, why did you have the time? Because people keep telling me I haven't got time to do stuff. And I point out that you and I and every person on the planet has the same amount of hours every week, 168. How come you had the time?
Well, I kind of got ejected out of the workforce involuntarily. It's an awfully long story, but I founded a tech company with a couple of people, and they, you know, didn't really treat me well, and they threw me out of it and saddled me with a huge IRS burden. And, you know, the less I say about this, the better, but just put it this way, I couldn't work because the government would take every penny I had. So, I became dependent on other people. And so this is my job. This is what I do. Like, well, 24 hours a day is what I do.
Well, I want to talk about your second book because it's, we're going to go to a break in a moment, but I want to talk about your second book because it's a lovely segue from what you've discovered. And people, listeners, check out Charles Richet, R-I-C-H-E-T, French Nobel Prize winner in 1913, 110 years ago. We're going to talk about John, how he worked out a recovery from these bioweapons that have been injected into you. I'm Charles Kervis. You're on the Mind Medicine program, and I'm with John Lukacs from the US of A, and we'll be back after these messages.
TNT Radio's Ross Cameron.
What is a human being? We are described in the taxonomy of animals as Homo sapien, meaning the wise animal. The animal that is distinguished from other animals by the use of reason. And it was the use of reason that gave the Greeks the feeling that the human being had a soul, because the human alone seemed to share this capacity with the divine to reason, not to be governed purely by instinct and by the behaviors of the herd. Yet we find, I think, both as we read history, but also in our own lives, that each of us is subject to both the influence of reason, but also the power passions of the herd.
Ross Cameron on today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
The totalitarian liberals of the West have unilaterally and arrogantly abolished national sovereignty and openly seek to overthrow all who would oppose their bid for global hegemony. Antiwar.com is devoted to the cause of non-interventionism and represents the truly pro-America side of the foreign policy debate. We are already fighting the next information war. We are dedicated to the proposition that war hawks and our leaders are not going to be allowed to get away with it unchallenged. Antiwar.com is dedicated to building an awareness of the globalist and interventionist forces that would enslave us all in a new world order on which the sun never sets. But we can't do it without you. Visit antiwar.com to find out more. A message brought to you by TNT Radio.
You're listening to Mind Medicine. Mind Medicine. Lighting the fuse for freedom. TNT Radio.
Welcome back. I'm Charles Kovis, your host of this weekly show from 4 p.m. to 5 p.m. Melbourne time. My guest is John Lookout from the US, a wonderful, amazing researcher. We've been talking about his first book, but he's now launched his second book called What Now? And both of these books are available for free on his website, estateartistry.com. But I urge you to buy a copy to give him some money to reward him, to enable him to continue his work. And John, your second book, What Now?, talks about what do you do to recover from these bioweapons that have been injected into you?
Right. Well, when I wrote my second book, it's kind of old now and the information is dated. I mean, we're always learning new things, right? But I had two main objections. The first one was to provide enough information about the topic of COVID to help the public understand how this term was being misused and cut through the confusion by stating upfront that the threat we were confronting at the time was not what we were being told it was. It's impossible to fix a problem if you can't be clear on what the problem is. So I sought to clarify that. All of these vax-related adverse reactions, serious injuries, even deaths are caused by a hematological disorder that's being deliberately introduced with every toxic COVID shot. COVID-19 and all related variants, honest to God, they are fictitious illnesses completely. COVID is a catch-all descriptive term that really refers to COVID vaccine injury. So you have to understand exactly what kind of damage COVID vaccines inflict on the body to isolate what you really need to address. The two main things are they are immunosuppressive and they destroy healthy bifidobacteria in the gut. So the second objective was to provide people with a way to address these effects and provide a treatment protocol, like specific to each brand, that would do that effectively. I did this by taking a pharmacological approach. Every toxin has a counterpart known as a logical drug. Logical drugs are antidotes and neutralizing agents. So the job involved killing parasites that were identified, chelating and detoxing heavy metals and other identified toxins, and where possible, destabilizing, thereby neutralizing any viable lipid mRNA delivery structures that were present before they could transmit the scary sounding genetic payloads we were told they contained to host tissue cells. It seemed reasonable to assume that if I could come up with a list of substances, preferably natural ones, that defeat everything in the vaccine formulas, it would be possible to disable its ability to do any harm. So that's what I did. And I felt very confident at the time that this would work. But later, when I had a chance to actually test its effectiveness in a controlled setting with, you know, full medical supervision and testing, I discovered the approach didn't work as well as I had expected. So I was missing something somewhere. And this is the thing that I want people to understand if they read my second book. Don't buy this book because it has a protocol in it that then I thought would work. The lesson I learned by doing that has to do with the foibles of book smarts. It turned out to be not all that effective because I was basing the selection of logical drugs on information that I found in peer-reviewed medical journals and published literature that I later learned was completely unreliable garbage. This is a bigger problem than most people realize. This material cannot be trusted. It is chock full of obfuscatory industry jargon whose only purpose is to create an air of legitimacy. It's like attending a Catholic mass in Latin for the first time. Unless you're fluent fluent in Latin, and you really can't figure out what's going on. And when you decode all that techno babble, and believe me, that's a task in itself, you begin to reveal all the flaws in their methodology. And there are so many baseless assumptions in these papers that I think it's safe to say every conclusion people arrive at is utterly worthless. So the problem I discovered with my advice had to do with, you know, me buying into certain deliberately placed misdirections most doctors continue to believe are real. And like many of these doctors, I misdiagnosed the illness. I was trying to address problems that never really existed at all. So all that said, when the opportunity presented itself almost a year later to conduct a real clinical trial, that exercise taught me a great deal. I learned that I didn't get it completely wrong. Some of my advice turned out to be okay. So I worked to improve the treatment, and I kept anything that did address real problems, and I tossed out the rest. What I think I have now is the answer, because unlike a lot of people who will tell you, you know, eat methylene blue or take chlorine dioxide, or these are beliefs that they have, but none of these people can explain the mechanisms of action that are involved that directly affect vaccine injury as it presents itself symptomatically in the body. None of them. So you can't go on that, right? You have to have proof. You have to test things.
On your website now, you have your I'm on it now, and you go through, you've got five steps. So these five steps that you have on the website are taking into account now the fraud that, or the misleading nature of all these medical research papers, and I've been exposed to that as well, John. So it's good that you point that out again, because doctors go, oh, it's in the research. Well, gosh, aren't we finding out how fraudulent that research is? So the protocol on your website now where your state of thinking?
Yeah, I can summarize it briefly, but literally this blog post covers every detail of this, and it includes all the observations that we went through in our clinical trial with an actual real dying vaccine injured person. So I encourage everybody to go there. It's estateartistry.com/blog, and the post was the one I put up on May 14th, I believe. I haven't put up another one, so right now it's at the top of the list.
Yes, but it is. It says, it's possible to reverse vaccine injuries, everybody. And it's wonderful. John writes, I've done it. I want everyone to know exactly how I figured out how to accomplish this, what I did to test it, and the results I have seen. I think it's so exciting that you have done that, and you also say, if you've been vaccinated, you have been poisoned. Take this seriously. Every shot reduces your lifespan considerably. The best estimates that are possible suggest this number is 7 years per shot. And today, that probably includes any vaccine, not just COVID jabs. This is due to the graphene content in them alone, which is potentially lethal immediately. So tell us about graphene, because I'd really love people to get a handle on what the implications are of injecting graphene into our bodies.
Well, the graphene industry is just staggeringly huge. They are literally trying to insert graphene into everything. Here's what it does. It's basically pencil lead, right? It's just nano particulate pencil lead. It's just carbon. Mm. That's how it reads on a spectrographic analysis. But something very interesting happens when it comes in contact with any living tissue. It becomes paramagnetic and electrically conductive. And what that enables them to do is to take living tissue and turn it into a read-write storage medium. Okay, there's an awful lot to this we can't get into, but my blog, I mean, there are tens of thousands of pages cumulatively there that, you know, you could scroll through and read. But what they are trying to do is make the body something it's not designed to do. And the amount of graphene required to kill you is not just well established. I mean, it's known how much it takes via multiple administration methods, whether it's nasal, oral, whatever. All right. If you reach the maximum toxicity level, you will die. This is why vaccines are spaced out, why the batches contain all kinds of amounts, why subsequent shots contain more poison than previous shots. They're trying to kill you while making it look like something else was responsible. So even though this is deadly, and they know it's deadly, they're not just going around executing people. That would be too obvious, right? They want you to die of a slow burn. Okay. And what the guys down at in the labs at Quinta Columna, if anybody's familiar with those guys have produced some remarkable research over the past 3 years. And, you know, I link to all that stuff in this post and in others. You can learn all about what it does. And they tested over 700 different mass-produced injectables, everything from lidocaine to insulin. And some amount, usually a shocking amount, is found, they found it in all of these medications. So, you know, the vaccine thing, I think, has run its course. Nobody wants a COVID vaccine anymore. It's obvious it kills you. If you do get one, you're just dumb, right? But they're poisoning your stew now. They're trying to make you run into it some way, whether it's through food, it's falling out of the sky, it's in the soil. I mean, this stuff is everywhere. Yeah. So,
yeah,
right,
John. So that's very so on that website, because I want to move to the to it's from your thinking around all these health issues. You've then really intrigued me. I love the work that you've done on that, but then you've turned to the curing of cancer. So can you tell us about where your thinking led to, or where are you up to on that?
Well, I didn't like cure cancer. Somebody else did. And I'm making it available to people that want to know how it was done. I mean, what I provide is a link to a study. There's a blog post called Cure Your Cancer by Christmas. And I put that up like mid-December last year, because, you know, turbo cancer, you've heard that term. Everybody who's vaccinated is coming down with cancers of all kinds, right? So There is a study out there by A. Keith Brewer. It's called High pH Therapy for Cancer Tests on Mice and Humans. And it's paywalled. It costs like $80. I just put it up on my website so you can download it and read it. But what he did here is very simple, really. There's only five things that you need to take. And some of them are hard to get, at least here in the United States, because they've made them illegal, these things, right? But this study that he did in 1984 involved 30 terminal cancer patients, and they were split down the middle between those who had had some chemo treatment and those who didn't. 30 out of 30 recovered. That's
wow.
100% effectiveness.
Dear listener, sorry for misleading you. John, I'm so excited that you discovered this report, and it wasn't your work, but 100%. 30 out of 30 is just extraordinary.
Yeah, it's in the journal Pharmacology, Biochemistry, and Behavior, Volume 21, Supplemental 1, pages 1 through 5, by A. Keith Brewer. And literally, this can be done in 12 to 36 hours. I mean, imagine. All right, so what did he do? He's administering cesium chloride, which is illegal to obtain in the United States, probably for this reason, right? Exactly like it comes out of the ground. 3 to 6 grams per day works, but the best results were with 1 gram 3 times a day with a full meal. The second was vitamin C, 4 grams per day. If you take 1 gram with each full meal, you can let the last gram just take it randomly in between. 50 milligrams of zinc per day. And the last three ingredients were 800 milligrams each of potassium and lithium. Okay. So the way this works is that cesium has an affinity for cancerous cells. Vitamin C and zinc gets the cesium through the cancer cell membrane, where it alkalizes the cancer cell without alkalizing the surrounding blood. That's key. Once the cesium is in the cell, it raises the pH of the cell up to like 8 in just a few hours. And he says all pains and effects of cancer will vanish in 12 to 36 hours. All tumors will disappear and just be reabsorbed into the body harmlessly. I thought that was astounding. I mean,
I'm astounded. I'm astounded. Yeah. Literally, like it's mind-boggling so quickly, because of course, as pH goes up, that becomes more alkaline, doesn't it?
Well, yeah. I mean, cancer thrives in a low pH environment, you know, very high acid environment. And if you go to the trouble of buying some pH strips and just urinating on pH strips, every time you go, you will see a pattern in your own acidity levels, which fluctuates throughout the day. But the average person literally pees on these strips and comes up with a reading of 4. I mean, that is so unhealthy.
Wow.
It causes every problem you can imagine. You can't be this acid all the time. One, it's a chemical problem. It's a 20-to-1 ratio that forces your body into an acid state. So one soda pop is enough to ruin your entire day. Just one. I don't drink soda. I don't drink anything.
So when you use the word soda, it's interesting in the UK, sorry, US, because it's different in Australia. Soda means soda water, which has got no sugar in it. It's just carbonated water. But so when you use the word soda pop for our listeners all around the world, that means soft drinks, really, doesn't it?
It means, look, just take pH strips and anything you're drinking, pour it on a pH strip and learn for yourself what is acidic and what isn't. You'll find that it's almost everything you put in your mouth. And all pharmaceutical medications force the body into an acidic state. I mean, I'm hard to find one that doesn't.
Mm. Pharma forces acidic strips. So on your blog, which is a wonderful resource, thousands of pages. So the A. Keith Brewer protocol is it easy to find, John? Just did you put December 2022 or something?
It's in December, I think December 13th or 14th. It was just before Christmas last year I posted this up. And the title of the article is Cure Your Cancer by Christmas.
Yeah.
And it's just a one pager. I mean, it's very brief. It's very easy to understand, you know. But you have in the United States, you have two main problems. First, you have to get a doctor to prescribe lithium for cancer treatment and they won't do it. So you have to figure out how to do this for yourself. Cesium chloride, you can buy, like in the UK, you can buy it, I think, over the counter, or you can order it. But in the United States, it's illegal. So, you know, you have to use intermediaries to take charge of your healthcare. And if you're in the US and you want to do this, you're going to have to find lithium somehow. I don't know how you do that. Maybe a friend doctor that can, you know, help you out here with that. But everything else, you know, vitamin C, potassium, zinc, I mean, it's over the counter drugstore stuff. Really easy.
Yes. That's so in Australia, it's a little bit easier. There are alternative sources available. In fact, your blog, it's dated the 13th of December, Cure Your Cancer by Christmas. It's a downloadable file on the estateartistry.com website. Well done, John, for discovering that. Now, let's go to vaccines generally, because I must say I was educated on vaccines about 12 years ago. I have 5 children and they're older, so they got very few jabs. Most Australians are unaware of what the impact of the 1986 indemnity given to pharmaceutical companies under the Ronald Reagan administration led to this extraordinary increase. And now I say to you, I get more and more evidence of what, John, you say, that there are no vaccines that are of value. Is that your position?
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the only thing any vaccine, anyone in history, I've looked at every single one at one time or another, the only thing that any of them have ever done is cause the illness they were purported to provide some protection from. That's it. That's all they can accomplish. And they can damage the body so many more ways with all the adjuvants and excipients that they load them up and heavy metals they load them up with now that, I mean, you're taking your life in your hands. I, as a personal sort of, line, I won't allow myself to be injected with anything because the people injecting you with stuff are totally oblivious to this. They are completely incompetent. It's anybody alive today who's received a formal education in the practice of medicine completely accepts at least one completely false fact. And if you press them, it's far more common to find that these people believe 20 or 30 ridiculous lies. If you listen to them explain anything at all in their field or specialty, they can barely form a sentence without weaving at least one of these falsehoods into whatever they're talking about. I don't mean that to, you know, cast shade on well-meaning medical professionals. I'm just here to tell you and prove to you, you've been miseducated, right?
And well, in Australia, not only miseducated, but not educated, because in medical school in Australia, and I'm sure it's the same around the world, over a 6-year medical course, doctors get no more than 4 hours on vaccines. And indeed, most of them are just told vaccines are good. Here's how you inject. Go for it. They know they have literally not been educated about what these are, how they're made, how they're tested.
That's right. That's right.
So they have been miseducated, and we need to, everybody, see the pharmaceutical industry then tries to shame us, just like with the antithesis of free speech. If you question vaccines, oh, you're an anti-vaxxer, you're a conspiracy theorist, and the abuse starts to come. Well, everybody, I urge you, or John is urging you, but I'm agreeing with John, that getting these injections into your body, particularly, by the way, you mentioned the adjuvants, the pharmaceutical companies don't disclose what is in these things. And I had a conversation last night with a prospective mother. And what they do in Australia, and I'm sure in America, when the baby comes out of the mother's womb, what's the first thing that they do? We'll take your baby and give it a vitamin K injection and a Hep B injection. Go, wow, God must be pretty incompetent if he can't produce a healthy baby. And and the game plan happens, and I urge all mothers, do not let anyone in a hospital jab your brand new baby or your baby's full stop. John, we'll come back to this because I'm very interested in how do we, on issues of proving anything. You're on Mind Medicine Program. I'm with John Lukacs, wonderful researcher, health student from the USA. And I'm Charles Coves, your host. We'll be back after these short messages.
Give me a minute with TNT Radio's Steve Malzberg.
A few days ago, I told you the outrageous story of capitulation by the Los Angeles Dodgers, who had invited the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence to participate in and to be honored at Pride Night at Dodger Stadium later this month. After much outrage, the group, which many consider to be anti-Christian, was disinvited by the club. But when other gay groups threatened to pull out of their Pride Night, the Dodgers apologized and re-invited the group of make-believe queer and trans nuns, and they'll be honoring them after all. This really ticked off three-time Cy Young Award winner Dodgers lefty pitcher Clayton Kershaw, who announced that the team will be reinstating Christian Faith and Family Day. Kershaw says it's in direct response to the honoring of the Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and he says he doesn't believe in making fun of other people's religions. Simple, right? Good for him. But apparently the Dodgers are fine with mocking nuns. Shame on the entire organization and Major League Baseball as well. Thanks for giving me a minute. I'm Steve Malzberg for TNT Radio.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
A global program for digital identity supported by the World Economic Forum is well underway, but the mainstream media fails to report it and the dangers it presents to individual privacy and freedom from government control. Australia has a trusted digital identity framework. New Zealand has a Digital Identity Services Trust framework. And there's the Pan-Canadian Trust Framework. You get the picture. Governments clearly want our trust in this program, and several nations claim adopting digital identities will be voluntary, including Australia. But Australians were told COVID vaccines would be voluntary. That didn't stop the mandates. Australia's Digital Economy Strategy 2030 states we'll be succeeding when, quote, the significant majority of Australians over 18 are registered for MyGovID or other trusted digital identity, unquote. And that, quote, all new businesses are born digital through streamlined business registration. Is this really voluntary?
This is Mind Medicine on today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Welcome back, dear listeners, whether you're listening live or via the podcast recording, which is a wonderful benefit of TNT Radio. I'm Charles Coves. I've got the wonderful John Lukacs with me from the US. We've been going through post-COVID jab protocol recoveries. We've been talking about John's discovery of the work of A. Keith Brewer and a cancer solution. Remarkable. The importance of an alkaline situation in your body, of using pH strips to test your urine as to whether you are acidic or alkaline. And we've come to discuss the whole issue of vaccines are of zero value. Now, John, I have heard it said, it's been clearly proven that vaccines are effective. And I haven't seen that evidence. You've done the research. Where is this proof that vaccines work? Does it exist?
No. The way they define effective, you have to question effective at what? All right. They're provoking an immune response. That's the language that they use. But what they're doing is they're poisoning the body, and they are monitoring a biological response to the introduction of a toxin. And they are misleading everybody by calling this antibodies. You know, the whole idea of the whole concept of specific antibodies is a total myth, and there's no getting around it. This is basic biology here. You know, nobody was aware of this fact before Charles Richer discovered it back in 1913, but it's been true since humans first walked the earth, and it's still true. You only have five different immunoglobulins. Immunoglobulins are Y-shaped molecules found in the blood and other bodily fluids of vertebrate organisms. There are five main classes. They're labeled IgG, IgM, IgA, IgD, and IgE. And IgG is the main antibody found in blood, and it has a powerful ability to bind to bacteria and toxins. The other types of immunoglobulins are found in breast milk, tears, saliva, but they work together in various combinations to defeat anything that makes you ill. And there are no other ones. So when they're disguising with the technobabble, industry jargon, this idea of specific antibodies, like one antibody for every illness or something like that, that's just completely unsupportable.
Mm. Yep. And I'm, you and I participate in a wonderful twice a week just global discussion called Medical Doctors for COVID Ethics International. And there's a remarkable number of people on those calls, John, who have had zero vaccines in their lives, and their children have had zero vaccines. And my understanding is that the Amish in the US, in Pennsylvania, I believe, none of their children have been vaxxed for ever, and no test has been done on the relative health of those Amish, of those Amish populations compared to the general health of US population, where people have been jabbed like pincushions.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know a whole lot about the Amish people. I mean, you know, you get into all kinds of, like, the entire field of genetics is utter nonsense too. I could prove that easily to anybody with the time. But, you know, this idea that the vaccine was designed to only affect certain genetic lines or types of people, there's nothing to that. You know, what does exist, and I wish I had it here to reference for you, but I'm sorry I don't. But there was a study done, it was by a country doctor that, it is the only study that you can find, the only one I know about, the only one anybody has really shown me, that directly compares a few thousand vaxxed versus unvaxxed children. And it chronicles them through their entire life up to like 18 years, I think. And I read that study, and the incidence of all the major prevalent childhood problem illnesses, you know, everything from ADD to diabetes to autism. I mean, the list is pretty endless. It's phenomenal, the incidence increase in vaccinated populations. Everybody that had never received a vaccine was completely healthy. And my test subject was selected for this particular reason. Everybody in her family had a familial allergy to cow's milk, and cow's milk is part of the, you know, structure that they use when they formulate vaccines. So Hannah, she had never had a vaccine of any kind before the two COVID shots that damn near took her life.
Wow. Everybody, look, this is so important. Judy Mikovits, who I admire enormously, has written a number of books, Mikovits. You know, I've hosted two meetings with her, and she says, do not ever get injected ever again in your life, John. And it's great to hear you reiterating that message, because I can't see, like the evidence is now overwhelming, but I do understand the problem of awakening people, John. And in Australia, to give you an example of the fraudulent system we are in, we have the Australian Honours System. Okay, so the government twice a year gives out awards. You know, you can be a Companion of the Order of Australia, an Officer of the Order of Australia, and they're pretty hard to get. Well, guess which profession, which industry is hugely overrepresented? The answer is the medical industry of all descriptions. It is ridiculous how many awards they get. And so what they've done is they've perpetrated this scam of constantly honoring these professors of medicine and the like. And so the people have been sucked into this model that if you're a doctor, anything that comes out of your mouth is trustworthy.
Yeah, it's completely untrue that you need a postgraduate degree, a prestigious title or job, and 40 years of experience in some field to speak on a topic as an expert. I'm an expert of gravity because I've fallen a bunch of times. It's always down. You know, what these con artists are doing is literally certifying people in, you know, in physics on the condition they produce a lot of papers that conclude you fall up, and dismissing the opinion of anybody without those credentials. So you have to ask yourself, if you want to be a con man and you had all the money in the world to invest in this ruse, because they certainly do, could you finance, you know, the manufacture of such people? Absolutely. And you know, it's hard to take in. I admit it, you know, but it's true. It's really happening. And, you know, your life is on the line now because it's so advanced. Everything from 1928 forward is garbage.
Yeah. Yeah. So, John, we've only got a few minutes. I've got a couple of questions, but I want to get people to note your email address if they want to interview you, to access your wisdom or to support you. What's the best email address for you?
CEO@estateartistry.com. Don't be fooled by this webpage. This webpage is a landscaping site. I got to hide everything that I do because I'm like the most censored man in the world, I feel like sometimes. I mean, the problems are unbelievable. I share some of them with Charles. I have to get my word out. Please help me share this because I have to get my word out the unbelievably hard way through very small audiences at a time. And I truly depend on people circulating my information. You can email me. I'm very accessible. There's no firewall between me and the world. You can call me on my phone, you know, 949-929-9151. I'll talk to you for 2 hours. I got nothing better to do than talk to you, you know. You can email me your questions. You know, just I'm just trying to help people out here, and it seems like everybody is just trying to put their foot in my ass for doing it. It's unbelievable.
Well, John, I think, dear listeners, please take a note of that. John's study and his insights into your health problems, I'm certainly going to avail myself of this, but I really urge you to do so because your discovery of the cancer solution, of understanding from your two books, your willingness to own the fact that, hey, I published stuff and now I've discovered the fraudulent nature of medical research. I do feel for you and the challenges of earning income. My last question for you, because it's a common problem, I'm dealing with a lot of people in Australia who have lost their jobs. How do you cope with the stress of, you know, literally being hounded out, not being able to earn income as you would like to? How do you deal with the stress of these, John?
I don't know what to tell people. You know, I don't have that same burden. I mean, I'm fortunate in the fact that my needs are taken care of by people that, you know, want me to continue doing what I'm doing. So I've got an easy life. What can I say? You know, I don't know when it's your job, but one thing I can tell you is that there is absolutely no basis for these demands. You have to believe that, and you just have to find the thing that works. I provide so much on my website, you know, so many different resources. Even the books are chock full of resources on how to get around these people, legally, common law procedures, brute force tactics, you know, just stand up and face them and scream at in their face. I mean, whatever it takes, just don't comply. That's all I can say. You don't have to be nasty or violent. You just have to say no. Just say no. Absolutely not. I don't care what you throw at me. Forget it. I'll find something else to do.
Yes, that's a beautiful. Don't say no, and do not take these jabs. You know, I'm dealing with some pilots, and they've lost their jobs. You know, long-standing pilots. They love the flying career, and they refuse to have the jab. Well, I've said to them, stop complaining about the loss of your job because you're healthy. These pilots who have taken the job for the illusion of security from having some income, they've put their lives at risk by putting these poisons into their body. John, I so admire what you are doing. I admire your willingness to speak up. congratulations on your discovery so far. I urge people to check out the website estateartistry.com, and I will certainly be referring lots of people to you. And if you are involved in podcasting or radio programs, please interview John. John Lukacs, L-U-K-A-C-H. John, thank you so much for being with us today, and I'd love to have you back because I'm really interested in your views on genetics and the fraud that's been sold to us. So you can go to bed now, John. It's 3 a.m. in the morning for you.
Thank you, Charles.
Thank you. Thank you for staying up. And everybody, thank you for joining us on the program. We'll be back next week at the same time. Remember, pay cash. Do not rely on central bank digital currencies. Create communities. Connection is the resistance, so that if the government tries to cancel you because you haven't been a good boy, just like they're trying to do with John, create new communities. That's where your freedom comes. Keep listening to TNT Radio. Spread the message, and that way we get more truth out there. Thanks for being with us. See you next week. Thanks, John.